This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Liberty Mutual Insurance.
I'm Linda Kenyon in Washington. The attorney for the family of Tyre Nichols says all of the Memphis police officers charged in his beating death deserve to be punished.
All of these officers failed their oath. They failed their oath to protect and serve. Look at that video. Was anybody trying to protect and serve Tyre Nichols?
Attorney Ben Crump on CNN. The specialized unit those police officers belong to has been disbanded. CBS's Jared Hill is in Memphis.
Members of the community say action shouldn't stop there.
So the multi-level gang unit, the organized crime unit, all work under the same umbrella as the Scorpion unit, and they need to all be disbanded as well.
About 30 officers were part of this unit, which focused on violent offenders in high crime areas. G.A. Hardaway, who represents Memphis in the Tennessee State Legislature, is demanding more transparency.
Who decided that we needed a Scorpion unit with that kind of leeway? With just a wild, wild west attitude.
House Speaker Kevin McCarthy tells CBS Republicans will not allow the U.S. to default on its debt.
The whole government's designed to find compromise. I want to find a reasonable and a responsible way that we can lift the debt ceiling but take control of this runaway spending.
Three people are dead, four others wounded after another mass shooting in California. KCBS TV reporter Candace Crone is in Los Angeles.
Crime scene investigators worked late into the evening Saturday, combing this Beverly Crest neighborhood for clues after seven people were shot in what police are calling a shootout. Officers responded and discovered three people dead inside a car parked in front of the house. The other four victims were taken to nearby hospitals with serious injuries.
In Baltimore,
I'm Tom Foti. After several mass shootings on the West Coast this past week, Baltimore police are now asking for public help in solving one in the East, one that also involved a car crash and left one person dead and four people hurt, three adults, two children.
Really, at this point, I'm talking to folks that look like me, to black men in Baltimore. I see a lot of folks trying to be acting like they tough, but they really weak, because only weak people shoot somebody when you know children are right there.
That's Baltimore Mayor Brandon Scott. Novak Djokovic has won his 10th Australian Tennis Open.
It was a hard-fought clash. Stefanos Tsitsipas made Novak Djokovic feel the pressure and run around the court. Both made forced errors, but in the end, Djokovic won 6-3, 7-6, 7-6 after tiebreakers. Last year's visa debacle made it tough.
Not playing last year, coming back this year.
This is CBS News.
Nobody should have to pay for one-size-fits-all insurance coverage. Liberty Mutual customizes your car and home insurance, so you only pay for what you need. Liberty Mutual.
WAUK 540 AM. New Berlin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. The federal infrastructure law has been in effect for a year now. Community leaders around Wisconsin are optimistic about badly needed repairs and improvements. Here's Mike Moen.
At the League of Wisconsin Municipalities, Zach Brewing says so far nearly $3 billion in projects have been announced with funding from the law. Most are transportation related, and Brewing says it's badly needed as many areas have backlogs for priorities like road and bridge repairs.
And so by having a real strong federal partnership in the area of infrastructure helps address some of the backlog.
The law will also provide states funding for clean water infrastructure and expansion of high-speed internet. The plan did have some Republican opposition, but has otherwise been hailed by political analysts as a bipartisan achievement. Despite the significance of the law, some of those analysts say it hasn't stayed on the public's radar, especially during the recent election. But supporters are still getting the word out. Megan Rowe is with Opportunity Wisconsin, which has spent the last year educating communities about the benefits of these projects.
Whether we're spending less on car repairs due to updated roads and bridges, having access to safe drinking water or improved mass transit opportunities, this law is a once-in-a-generation investment in our state's infrastructure and competitiveness.
And as more projects are announced, Rowe says it means additional well-paid union jobs for distressed areas. She says the long-term benefits from various improvements should particularly help rural areas and underserved communities. An interactive online map from the White House shows the projects so far are spread fairly evenly across Wisconsin. Mike Moen, Wisconsin News Connection.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell.
If you can plan barbecues and weddings, you can plan to protect yourself from a natural disaster. Sign up for local alerts, prepare an emergency kit, and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
You care for the house, the kids, and our future. A Shiro's day is never done. So let's start saving a little more now. Get free tips to help boost your retirement savings. Visit AsiaRetirement.org.
Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
WAUK 540 AM, Brookfield's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at WAUKradio.com. You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. To learn more, go to our website, civicmedia.us.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
You're listening to the best of Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. I'm your host, Wakunjahade, Distant Thunder. My colonized name is Robert Pilot. We discuss national and local Native American news and events. As we all know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
It's a good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, any cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunjahade. Hey, Kutagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions, you are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot, and we discuss local and national Native news and events, and as you know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues. And this portion is brought to you by MN350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice. And we got a jam-packed show. And we have Johnny R. Of the Indian Way here. And we're going to be speaking on the big comedy show that's coming up on the Twin Cities. And I know Johnny was featured in this national book. We had a little real estate problem. It's been out for a year. This is a remarkable book. And it's illuminating and stereotyping, busting history of Native comedians. And so really excited to have Johnny on a little later. But without further ado, I want to start out the show with the news, with Ogama, the news you don't hear anywhere else. Welcome.
Bonjour, Anin relatives. This is Ogama Kanuakwe here with you on Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I have some news and information for you. I wanted to touch base on the Indian Way comedy tour that's happening right now. Indian Way comedy, including Johnny R., Trish Cook, and the Res reporter Rob Fairbanks, are going to be live at the legendary Parkway Theater this Saturday, January 28, 2023, starting at 7:30 p.m. Doors open at 6:30. Tickets are $14 in advance and $19 at the door. This is an all-ages show. Make sure you head over to theparkwaytheater.com to get your tickets or Facebook RSVP on the event page at NDN Way Comedy. So exciting. Going to be a great show. Really looking forward to hearing the follow-up from that event. For all you water protectors out there, I do want to remind you that the Tamarack Water Alliance Community Zoom meeting is next Wednesday, February 1st at 10 a.m. Central Time. Everyone is invited to join virtually. It's an opportunity to learn about the risks to the community of the proposed Talon Metals Mine in Aiken County, Minnesota. February's topic is going to be Water is Life, Talon Metals, and the Tamarack North Project. Tom Anderson is going to be presenting. You can head on over to tamarackwateralliance.org to sign up for the Zoom link. If you believe that nickel sulfide mining is too risky for Aiken County, Tamarack Water Alliance wants you to pick up a yard sign. There is a $6 donation that helps to offset the cost of that, but you can email waters@tamarackwateralliance.org to arrange to pick up your sign for that. Just a little bit of background on the Talon Metals and Tamarack North project. The proposed Talon Metals nickel sulfide mine in Tamarack, Minnesota, is threatening to destroy rural vacation land in Aiken County, which is also home to more than 460 inland lakes, wetlands, and the origin of both the Mississippi and St. Croix River watersheds. However, the really big scary thing about this that I want to talk to people about is the Talon Metals water pumping requirements. In their 2021 preliminary economic analysis, Talon Metals said that they estimated how much water they were going to have to pump. And based on that analysis, they're going to be pumping roughly 2.03 million gallons per day during this project. And that is, it's an outrageous amount of water. And Talon has not committed to filtering all this water, and nor have they disclosed how they might dispose of this quantity of water. And this level of pumping will have significant impacts on aquifer levels in Minnesota. And, this is just an ongoing problem here where these companies want to come into Minnesota and they are not taking accountability for the damage that they could do to water and land here. So if that's something that concerns you, especially after Line 3 has come through Minnesota and we're still dealing with aquifer breaches from Line 3 and massive amounts of water that were dewatered throughout Minnesota, make sure that you head on over and go to TamarackWaterAlliance.org and sign up for that meeting next Wednesday and get involved to do something. Find out how you can help, find out more about this project. In the art world, I want to touch base on an artist that has received a wonderful fellowship. Artist G. Peter Jemison, who is Heron Clan from the Seneca Nation, was named the recipient of the Johnson Fellowship for the Arts Transforming Communities Fellowship for 2023 for his decades of work in art, film, and writing. This is a fellowship given by the Americans for the Arts organization, and they recognize artists and culture bearers who work in and with rural communities to advance cultural equity. Really exciting to have artist G. Peter Jemison from the Seneca Nation receiving that, and looking forward to finding out more about his work and the energy in that creation. I'm going to jump back to the world of environment for just a minute here. I missed this one just a minute ago, but out of the Alaska Beacon, Jacob Fischler reports that the U.S. House Republicans are possibly making it easier to give public lands away. What's happening right now is there's a provision, and it's a really technical piece of legislation in a 55-page rules package. But basically, it affects internal accounting for the House and requires that any time Congress were to give any federal lands to a state, municipality, or tribe, that it would be counted as a loss to the federal budget. And advocates and critics have things to say about that. They disagree about the wisdom of this. Republicans and conservative groups say that this is preferable because that means that states would be the stewards of most public lands and that those closest to the lands are obviously in a better position to make decisions on how to manage them than those in Washington. However, environmental groups and Democrats say that the federal divestment is a step towards restricting access to places where all Americans should have a claim, and that if states cannot afford to protect those public lands, which many can't, it may lead them to sell those lands to private companies. So this is a bit of an ongoing thing, and I think I might side with the environmental groups on this one, that when we talk about an accounting dispute when it comes to land and water and protecting those things here in the United States, anytime you get those numbers involved and consider it a loss, it's not a good plan. So we'll maybe follow up on that some more as we find out on what is happening with that and what's going to transpire as this continues. One more thing here in the sports world out of AP News. Indigenous hockey cards have come out for First Nations players, which is interesting to see them coming out so late. So this month, Upper Deck revealed First Peoples rookie cards, and it features 8 Indigenous hockey players who did not get the opportunity to have their own official card the first time around. And one of the players said, it's kind of like somebody calling you 40 years after your 18th birthday and saying, hey, you're turning 18, that it wasn't as exciting as it could have been, but nevertheless, they were honored. The 8 players who are now getting an officially licensed NHL trading card are Dan Frawley, Jason Simon, Bill LeClaine, Ricky Trottier, Victor McCready, Danny Hodgson, Johnny Harms, and Ted Nolan. So exciting in the hockey world for First Nations people who are going to have their own official NHL trading cards. This is News with Ogma on Native Roots Radio, and back to you, Robert.
Hey, thanks, Ogma. Hey, up next, Johnny R., and we're going to be talking comedy and the big comedy show coming up. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we're really excited. And then later on the show, we got Robert Lilligren of Native American Community Development Institute. Hey, we'll be right back after this short break. Please stay with us. Ho-wa!
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
I was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
We stand on the shoulders of women who came before us.
Women who fought for their own financial futures.
And now it's our turn.
Join us. Visit WeSaySaveIt.org and take control of your financial future by saving for retirement.
A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Mainly cloudy skies this afternoon with a chance of flurries. Highs level off around 20. Northwesterly winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Cloudy skies tonight. Lows level off around 4 above. Temperatures reach up to 8 above. Tomorrow, overcast. Mainly clear Tuesday with highs around 12. 22 Wednesday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 16 degrees.
A progressive voice from Manitowoc to Janesville. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
Hi, this is Representative Charisse Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, this portion is brought to you by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition, and I am really pleased to have Johnny R. here. And, you know, I've known peripheral about you, and it was really exciting reading this book that you're in. We had a little real estate problem, The Unheralded Story of Native Americans in Comedy, and yeah, there you go. You have one, Johnny. So I'm really happy that you're able to come on, and it was really a heartwarming story about you and your comedy track. So thank you so much for being on.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. It's an honor.
So you're up there in Red Lake, you know, yes. And we have Bob Blake from Red Lake on our show, and I just always love to say that, you know, Bob Blake from Red Lake.
I was his football teammate for the Red Lake Warriors in 1992 or 93. So
I know a lot. That's cool. I'm the same age. Well, I'm a couple years older than his late great brother, and I knew him from many, many years ago. And so it's an honor to have Bob on and the good work that he does. But so, Johnny, it says here in the book that you were really starting about 2009, and you had a lot of trepidation to get into it, and then you got into it, and you're a comedian, and you always will be a comedian, and you know, you're an overnight success in the last 12 years. Isn't that how it goes?
I'm in my 14th year right now. But yeah, it was, I didn't get started till I was, I think, 33 years old. There was a showcase at a local college here for indigenous people. So I figured it was now or never. And, you know, I signed up, did about 10 minutes of pure trash, maybe two or three laughs, and that was enough for me to, you know, it lit that fire in me that I wanted that response from crowds. And you know, I grew up with a lot of funny guys, you know, family members, just, you know, they're a lot funnier than I am. And I don't know how I ended up doing it, but, you know, it was just, it's been quite the journey so far.
Yeah, and Indians are funny. Well, I'm Ho-Chunk. We're not funny. We're mean. We're mean, I hear. So, but natives, we have that inside humor, and a lot of humor comes from pain. And I think we have more comedians than we around the table each night than we can deal with sometimes.
Yeah, that's the thing about, you know, me growing up. You know, that was probably the most common theme that I saw. You know, it seemed like when we were at our most, you know, vulnerable, I suppose, you know, with our feelings and suffering, like a tragedy or something, we'd all gather and we'd all end up laughing somehow. And it's still like that when I go to funerals. I know there's a couple times where I was asked to speak at funerals, and somehow I ended up having the whole place laughing, because that's all we really know how to do. It's how we heal. And it's just been something that we've always done, you know, from my grandparents, you know, grandparents before them. And it's just, you know, something that we do.
You know, what would you say is your style? You know, I'm more of a mean Don Rickles kind of guy, but what is your style?
Well, I'm kind of, I come around that area, but, you know, it's just, you know, the brutal honesty, you know, it's kind of a turnoff to a lot of people, the way I speak, because the way I was brought up, you know, my grandmother, you know, my great aunts and my aunts and my mom, they're, you know, these bold, in your face, Ikwewag, you know, our Ojibwe women were very bold, and they didn't hold back their feelings or thoughts. And I grew up around that. So that's pretty much where my my humor comes from, you know, just saying things. There are times where a lot of times my wife tells me, you know, behave yourself, don't embarrass me. Every time I go somewhere, so that's, I don't know, I've always been like that, and I can't change, and that's just how I am.
So how often do you gig a year?
Average, maybe. Well, I work full-time, and I got a family, so I get out maybe two or three times a month. Mm-hmm. You know, in the book that you read there, that my story, there are still times where I do go to Minneapolis for open mics, or, you know, for gigs that don't pay very much, and then I come right back up to Red Lake, so that's a 10-hour drive sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, round trip, you know. I got to work the next day, so my thing is I get done about 10, 11 o'clock, then I come right back to Red Lake and get home about 3 or 4 in the morning. And then get up at 6, you know, get the kids ready. I got to go back to work. And it's just, my wife made me cut back a little bit if I'm not getting financially rewarded from it. So yeah. I've been cutting back quite a bit since then. But, two, three times a month if I'm lucky. And, you know, right now we're getting, you know, getting some traction with our Indian Way comedy. So hopefully if something takes off, we'll be even more dates available. So,
well, what I've found out here with it's funny, Johnny, when I first started 6 years on this radio show, no one would come on, and now everybody wants to come on. And I think it's the persistence, you know, you've been around a long time and people can count on you, you know. And I think there's something to that, and not only being funny, but being accountable.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah. When I first started out, it was so hard to, you know, to find spaces to perform. So it took me a little longer in my development to, you know, I've always had these thoughts and ideas and, you know, the almost boldness about the way I grew up. But there was just, I needed to, you know, fine tune that, you know, how to get it all in an act. And, you know, living in northern Minnesota is very rare that we have those opportunities. So I've had to go down to Minneapolis and sometimes Fargo and, you know, just find whatever I can to get better at it. You know, I'm still learning, you know, I'm 14 years in and I'm still trying to learn about comedy and, you know, I don't have all the, you know, the access to the rooms like everybody else does down in the big city. So.
Right. People working on their craft and throwing away jokes and honing in. It's a very interesting process that I've noticed. So I think I asked you this: who is your comedian? Who? What comedian do you really like? And you know, there's a lot about Charlie Hill in the book, and a lot of things that he went through, and you know, there's people out there that you're still a trailblazer though, because you know, even though we have this attraction after Standing Rock that we have. You know, they're noticing us Indians, whether it's in Rutherford Falls or reservation dogs nationally. But still, you see only the, I just want to say this, you see the same five or six native actors in both of those shows. And there's many more talented people out in the, out on Turtle Island.
Yeah, that's one of the things. That's been the cool part of this, you know, ever since Standing Rock, you know. Myself, we've been doing, you know, I've been able to do movies and TV and, you know, books, and to see other guys that I've worked with, you know, get, you know, reach that level, you know, because I worked a lot. I started out with Tatanka Means and obviously like the 1491s. I worked with them a couple times, and it's just so it blows my mind to see them on TV, you know, hit that mainstream fame. You know, how sought after they are. And it's really, really pushing me to try and get to that level. Cause you know, I have a lot of support among the, you know, all of the guys that I came up with. And, you know, Tatanka, he's always probably one of my best friends in this business. And we talk a lot, and it just really, you know, he just tells me to, you know, keep going at it, throw in auditions, and, you know, something will click along the line. So that's what I'll be doing.
Well, I think you and I should talk about doing a, and it was in the book, so it isn't my idea, but you and I should talk about doing in the Twin Cities a national comedian contest and get all our natives coming into the cities here and really have a contest, and then also have all the comedians, you know, gather together and really help each other out, which I think they are. And one of the things I got to just tell you real quick, too, is Bobby Wilson was a student of mine. He wasn't in class very often, but you know, he did hover around Harding for a year or so, but that's another story. But he's been on the show a few times, and he's one that I feel like too that really comes back and supports where he's from, because he was not only was he in Inde Young, he worked at Inde Young, and that's a kind of a shelter for young people. Mm-hmm. So he brings back stuff, and it, but we should talk about that. And we only got a minute left here, and then I want to really next segment talk to you a little bit about for a few minutes just about the big show that's coming up.
Okay.
Yeah. So you know Bobby, and you know Dallas, and all those 1491ers that are really taking off, and you know, there's Trish too. Funny story too. It's such a small community here. Trish's brother I worked with at Harding. He's an art teacher for many, many, many years. So it's a small world we have in Indian country. Well, hey, why don't we take a break and then come back and talk a little bit about the show, huh? What do you think? All right. We'll be right back after this short break. You're listening to Native Roots Radio. We'll have Johnny Aron, and then after Johnny, we got Robert Lilligren in the bullpen. We'll be right back after this short break. Please stay with us.
With
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk from Butler to Windlake. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
CBS News Brief. Memphis police have permanently disbanded the Scorpion Unit. That's the specialized police unit involved in the beating death of Tyre Nichols. This protester says that's not enough.
They moved in the right direction by permanently deactivating the Scorpion Unit, but the multi-level gang unit, the organized crime unit, all work under the same umbrella as the Scorpion Unit, and they need to all be disbanded as well.
House Speaker Kevin McCarthy tells CNN he and President Biden are ready to discuss the debt ceiling.
Well, we're going to meet this Wednesday. I know the president said he didn't want to have any discussions, but I think it's very important.
McCarthy was on CBS. America's top diplomat headed to the Middle East amid a rash of deadly violence in the region. Here's CBS's MTS Taieb.
Secretary of State Antony Blinken's visit to Israel and the West Bank will be dominated by these latest tensions and growing questions over what, if anything, the White House can do to calm the situation.
CBS News Brief. I'm Linda Kenyon.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Max Inc. Radio, we are local music with Pete from the Skin Tones.
Here, you have been warned. Not only Madison, the rest of Wisconsin and the U.S., Skin Tones, we're coming at you. We're going to be committing rock atrocities. We're fit. We're in shape. We are tight. We are muscular. We are attractive for our ages. And we are sexy as hell.
Listen to Max Inc. Radio Saturday nights, 6 p.m. to midnight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation. Yes. With I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which is audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP. We're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms. Yeah.
We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
Governor Tony Evers, Tim Michaels, said you had gone, quote, full woke. Dr. Jill Underlie said that somebody who says that has no idea what we're doing in schools to make sure kids feel safe.
We want to make sure all kids feel supported. Tim Michaels, we don't teach CRT in our schools. You got to come to the present century here, Tim, and be cognizant of what actually goes in the schools. My guess is you've never been in a public school in Wisconsin.
Up North News Radio with Pat Krylo airs at its new time from 6 to 8 a.m. weekdays across Civic Media.
We have to really understand how critically important a time this is. Time for talk is over. The time for action is now. Because my voice has always been and will continue to be for people who don't have a voice.
Tune in to the Earl Ingram Show every Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. Only on WAUK 540 AM, 101.1 FM, The Shaw.
Courage. I learned it from my adoptive mom.
Hold my hand.
You hold my hand.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care at AdoptUSKids.org. You can't imagine the reward. Brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
Hey, everyone. This portion of the show is brought to you by MNsure. If you're looking for health insurance that you can afford, head on over to MNsure.org. That's MNsure.org.
Hey, Pina Gigi Ogama. Hey, we're here with Johnny Iron up next to Robert Lilligren. Johnny, I just want to just talk a little bit here before we let you go about the big show coming up, and let everybody know where, who, what, where, when, and how. Oh, I got you muted. Hold on a second here. No, go ahead, Johnny. You're up.
Okay.
Yep.
All right, yeah, it'll be myself, Trish Cook, fellow Red Laker, and Leech Laker. The Res reporter, Rob Fairbanks, will be live at the historic
The Parkway Theater.
Yeah. It's you know, it's kind of a special thing because all three of us were actually born in Southside, Minneapolis. I grew up there the first 3-4 years of life, and Trish and Rob, their youth there. So it's kind of a important date for us. We're all coming back, and, you know, we're going to res it up. So that's pretty exciting for us. You know, we've been doing this for I actually started with Indian Way podcast, which I have right here. I have my own podcast. It's on, you know, iTunes and Spotify. And I figured, you know, when I actually tried the book, it took me 10 years to get in a club down in the cities to have my own show. Mm-hmm. And Mike Brody, he's the one that booked us at the House of Comedy. And he's, well, you have a name for your show? And like, well, I got a podcast called Indian Way with Johnny Iron. So yeah, you can use that. You use Indian Way. So we ran with that. I think our first one was in June of 2020. And, you know, right at the beginning of the pandemic, and there was like maybe 11 people there. And it wasn't really, it was a tricky time because, you know, we're all still wearing masks, and they're wiping down mics after every time somebody was done. And it was really a sketchy time to try and do comedy. But, you know, they called us back, and, you know, I invited Trish to the next one. And Rob was still down, so we just went with this group. And, you know, all Ojibwe, I don't think an all Ojibwe lineup has ever headlined the House of Comedy. And also what we're doing this weekend, you know, we've been able to make it to Fargo, North Dakota, Sioux Falls, South Dakota, at Boss's Comedy Club. And, you know, we're just trying to spread some Ojibwe joy. So that's pretty much what we're doing. You know, we all get along good together. And that's the thing I wanted to talk about, you know, the Indigenous comedians. You know, everyone that I've ever worked with is nothing but, you know, pure professional. You keep it on a professional level. Friendships grow from that. And we're all just like a pretty, you know, big family. You know, you read about mainstream comedians that are, you know, difficult to work with, but you know, this is just all of us coming together. And, you know, I actually had a post yesterday, right, was that today, about you know, my five favorite Indigenous comedians, and I never really thought of that before, but I went ahead and did it anyway. So I'm probably going to be in trouble for ranking all.
Yeah, exactly. Well, hey, give us a sneak peek of that ranking before we let you go.
Okay, number five, I had Von Eagleberg. You know, I love the guy. You know, he's probably one of the smartest men I've ever been around. And, you know, he was one of the, when I first started out, I did a show with him, and he gave us, like, the best advice. You know, it was in Red Lake at the time. And he said, you know, you're here, you know, these are your people. They want to hear you, you know, they want to see you succeed. So there should be no pressure. And that really just, you know, took all the pressure off of us doing that show in Red Lake. And, number four, I couldn't really break them all down, but the 49 Laughs comedy, you know, Tatanka Means, Ernie Sosi, James June, and Adrian Chalupa, Pax Harvey, you know, all strictly, you know, professional, get along good with them. So I put them all in as number four. And then number three was J.R. Redwater, you know, probably one of the best comedians out there right now. But number two, Mark Yaffe, another straight professional. He's on the road constantly and, you know, trailblazing for the rest of us, you know, making a name for the Indigenous comedy out there. And then number one, I had to give it to old school Larry Omaha. You know, I got to work with him, sat with him and visited him for a while. And I was just like, I was just blown away. He had so many stories with Charlie Hill, you know, all the Eddie Murphy and all those guys in Hollywood. I was just impressed by him. And so that's why he gets number one, because he's our king right now, you know, after Charlie Hill passed away. So, yeah.
Well, Johnny R., thanks for stopping in. I'm going to get one of those Indian Way shirts that you got hanging up back there when I come down there. Some cool swag. Appreciate it. We're going to see you at the Parkway this Saturday.
Yep.
And we'll see you. And thanks again for stopping in.
Yep. Thanks for having me. It was an honor.
Oh, wow. All right. Have a great day.
You too.
Wow, that's cool. We got Robert Lilligren coming on right now here. And Ogumai, there you go. That was a fun interview. Welcome, Robert. And you are muted, I can see here. Oh, wow.
Yeah, there bonjour, Ogumai, bonjour, Robert. Great to be here. It was a great interview to listen to.
Oh, it's just, you know, we should try and get a comedy. You know, I'd read this book, and Johnny R. was able to get me in touch with the author, and he was in the book, and it was awesome. And we should try and get some kind of comedy contest or native comedy contest going on. And that's not my idea. It's been done before in the book, and it sounds really, really fun and exciting to have something like that here in the Twin Cities, and that'd be fun.
It sounds cool, especially, you know, native humor. It's great humor, and I so respect people who can be funny, you know, intentionally. When I try to be funny, I'm not, and then, you know, sometimes I'll be speaking to a group and everyone bursts out laughing. What did I just say? So right. I really respect the art of people who can be funny on demand.
Yeah, well, you know, that's a good segue. Robert Lilligren, Native Community Development Institute, among a lot of other things here in the Twin Cities of Minnesota. Speaking of comedy now, since we last spoke, we got Professor Pence here with some documents at his house now, Vice President.
Oh, right. So
the beats go on and on.
That whole thing is so intriguing. You know, it wasn't a surprise when they found all that at Trump's. You know, I think, I don't know, led many of us think he may have been passing information on and things. So then when the Biden thing happened, I thought, well, what is this? I thought maybe there was some strategy there or something. But now with Pence, it just makes me wonder how leaky the whole federal government is, you know, a leaky vessel. And I've been reading a little about it, and some of it may have to do with the classification of documents, how they're classified and things. But still, it sounds kind of messy.
Yeah, you know, and one of the things the Republicans like to bring up is, like, how come they aren't raiding Obama's house? And I never even thought of that. The last president before the last president, I wonder if he's got any documents.
Well, it makes you wonder, doesn't it? And I'm guessing you probably saw the meme on social media and everything that had the panel of Fox News presenters all wearing neck braces because they had to do such a quick sort of double take after they were jumping all over Biden. And then when Pence's classified documents got discovered and reported on, pretty good humor.
Well, here's another national question I have for you, too. Omar, they're trying to get rid of Omar, but I don't think they have the votes in that committee.
It looks like they don't. And, you know, fingers crossed. And Ilhan Omar is my congressperson. I'm a huge supporter. I think she's an important voice in presence in Congress. She's great to the local Native community. She has brought considerable resources here. She's very present in the community, even when she's not speaking. She just shows up at community events.
Right.
So she's a big supporter of us. I'm a big supporter of hers. And it looks like there isn't going to be, fingers crossed, the votes. And you know, I was talking the last couple of weeks about trying to see where this kind of center bipartisan majority that can actually govern might be emerging. And, you know, I suspect we'll see something around the debt ceiling limit. But here's a little precursor, I think, to that. And you know, there isn't an equivalency, you know, between Congresswoman Omar and people like Congresswoman Taylor Greene and, you know, the threats they made, the threats of violence that prompted them to get removed from committees. They just don't like, you know, who she is, what she represents. And so, you know, hopefully cooler heads will prevail.
Yeah, I think so. And I think you're right. It's a precursor because, you know, how ridiculous is that? And how ridiculous, what did the Speaker of the House have to sell his soul? I mean, you got people that are in committees that should be, investigating themselves.
Right. Yeah, that oversight committee is pretty scary, the membership there. And I suspect that there's going to be these little, you know, landmines exploding throughout, you know, representing the deal that McCarthy made to get the vote. And I don't think that's really serving the American people very well. I don't think it's serving the American Republic very well either. So, but there's more of these for sure. And I was pretty impressed with the Senate Minority Leader, sending the issue over to the speaker. It's like, okay, the debt ceiling debate.
Yeah.
You figure it out, you know. And I think that was smart strategy. And I think that McCarthy will find out in short order that he's going to have to compromise and bend.
Well, I keep on hearing over and over again, and not from the mainstream media, but from people probably on AM 950 and experts over during the day, that these debts are caused by Republicans. Whenever they're in power, they go in deep in debt. And we know that with Trump, that we were so deep in debt and he was spending like sailor and then lifting taxes and taxing the poor and, you know, Robin Hood and, you know, all this stuff. But even all the way back to Reagan, you know, just spending like drunken sailors. And then the Democrats had
That's just a fact that Republican administrations drive up the debt and Democratic administrations pay it down or at least get it under control, right? And it's kind of a false indicator anyway. The debt ceiling is kind of a fabricated limit and it gives this outsized leverage every time that it needs to be addressed and needs to be raised. And it's not just about the U.S., right? The entire world economy hinges on the success of the U.S. economy. So these guys are playing chicken with the world economy.
Right.
And I suspect some of them would be willing to crash the world economy to prove their point or to get their way.
Exactly. And we'll see how far that goes for 2024. Hey, Robert, can you hold on for another segment?
Yeah, happy to. Thanks.
Right on. Hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm here with Ogama and Robert Lilligren, and we're talking a little politics. Please stay with us. We'll be right back after this short break. Ho-wa.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Up North News Radio is Wisconsin's new choice for progressive talk about important state issues, from the team that brings you the news through social media, newsletters, and here on the radio. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Join me weekday mornings from 6 to 8 a.m.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation. Yes. With I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which was audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP, and we're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms. Yeah.
We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
Women get a lot of advice about self-care these days, but one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
My mother was very familiar with her neighborhood, but one day she stopped at the stop sign and she wasn't even really sure where she was at.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Overcast skies this afternoon with daytime highs approaching 20. Northwest winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Cloudy skies again tonight. A few flurries possible at times. Lows level off around 4 above. Cloudy skies expected tomorrow. A few flurries possible at times. Daytime highs approaching 8 above. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 16 degrees.
The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM, Wisconsin's home for rational talk radio.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves. Please join Howling for Wolves on Wolf Day, Tuesday, February 7th, 2023 at the Minnesota State Capitol. You can sign up on Howling for Wolves event page. Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Howl! Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
Hey, one more time, everybody. This portion of the show is brought to you by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Howl!
Howl!
Hey, we always do it twice because we love to see our guest howl, I guess, right? They're Ogama.
Absolutely. It's great when the guests join in and howl with us right away. And, you know, just to reiterate to February 7th, you can sign up to join Wolf Day at the Minnesota State Capitol in person or virtually. You can register at bit.ly/Wolf Day 2023.
Yeah, Wendy signed up and I'm going to sign up and get myself a t-shirt and try and get down there. And it's always fun, Robert. We're here with Robert Lilligren, CEO of Native American Community Development Institute. And we always love to bring up the fact that our lieutenant governor is a Wolf Clan. So when we howl for the wolves, we're howling for her relatives.
Yeah, great. Yeah, I was able to see Lieutenant Governor Flanagan, my whiter sister, this week at the Minneapolis American Indian Center. There was a beautiful ceremony, a ground blessing ceremony as part of the renovation there, and the Lieutenant Governor was one of the speakers.
Yeah, that's awesome. Sorry, I missed that. But you know, I don't get all the emails. It's I'm not on the email.
Oh, I think it was a very exclusive group.
Good one.
Peggy was there, and Mary Lagarde, the fantastic director of the Indian Center, that's been shepherding through this major rebuild and renovation. And she's just done amazing work. And she reminded the group, and Peggy, the Lieutenant Governor Flanagan, reminded the group, that is where she and Governor Walz kicked off their first campaign. And I remember you were there, and they came out into the community, to the Minneapolis American Indian Center, and that's where it all started.
Yeah, and that's a great memory. Also, you know, the governor really responded and respected who her lieutenant governor is, and it's really funny, like... there's very few lieutenant governors that I can even remember before Peggy. And I really mean that honestly, that this has been a great partnership with the governor and lieutenant governor, and they go to a lot of things together and they both speak. And I also like the story that was told, and she used to tell it a lot in the beginning of the first campaign, is that she'd in the Wellstone, I don't remember what it was exactly called. You can help.
Wellstone Action.
That she was his instructor.
Yep. Peggy used to teach there. She pioneered or engineered the first Indigenous candidate training curriculum, but she also trained candidates. And when I served on the Minneapolis City Council one term, we had at least two of her former students that were actually in the same class as now Governor Tim Walz. You know, he was preparing to run for Congress then. So she not only does the governance, and she, you know, shares what she knows and brings others along. I think that's important aspect of her as a person, her as a politician, her as a Native, high profile Native.
Yeah, and I think we're getting another update from her this weekend, play next week. So we're excited with the partnership and to amplify our lieutenant governor's voice all over Turtle Island. As you know, we're all over civic media, and you know, we just think of big things are coming for this young lady, and she's been doing a great job.
Yeah. Well, and I'll tell you, Robert, your observation about, you know, how they move in tandem, they almost co-govern, right? And now Senator Tina Smith, when she was lieutenant governor to Governor Dayton, she really elevated the lieutenant governor position, but Peggy has just used that as a foundation. And together with Governor Walz, they've really done it, and that doesn't always happen. You know, they sort of started that way, but it could be easy for a governor to kind of move off on his own. But they have stayed very close together. I think that's smart for Minnesota, for governing here, and smart politics. And even with the budget now, it's all about the budget, right? And the governor's proposals are coming out. He's had maybe, two or three in the last days, and now to go to the legislature. We, of course, have totally democratically controlled state government, which is great. And it's always the Walz Flanagan budget.
Yeah.
Put it right out there. And, you know, that's not required. That's because they're being very smart about how to govern here.
Right, exactly. And we appreciate that for sure, because, you know, I can't, you know, especially when I was teaching, I always told the lieutenant governor this too, is like, thank you for doing this because you look like my students, and that's my Native students. And that's, huge because we didn't have that when we were young. You know, all my native friends I thought weren't native, you know. It's a back in the
day. Right, yep, yep.
And you've told that story before, day. Too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, we didn't. I didn't know any of my classmates that were native until 1978. And all of a sudden, there was all this action around recognizing and honoring the native graduates. And I learned that 12 of my graduating class that I never knew were native. We're native. We were all invited to a luncheon, and it's like, oh, you're Indian. And, you know, with me, it's not that hard to miss the fact with a lot of folks who were so obviously native, but they never self-identified. We'd never identified to each other because there was no, we didn't view there as being any benefit to it, right? It was more of a liability.
It's funny. I was feuding with a few of them, and they ended up being Ho-Chunk and Winnebago. It was like crazy. Seriously. Yeah. It's like, what?
Yeah, no, I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised.
Well, you hear about those Ho-Chunks. They're pretty mean people, you know, but they keep that under, under your hat.
That's not the part that doesn't surprise me. It's that internalized sort of colonization mentality. Yeah, we do the colonizers' work for them, you know. So,
hey,
that doesn't surprise me.
We just had Bob Rice on Powwow Grounds, and that was fun. And we got to have a show coming up here soon. I was at the Powwow Grounds, and I see that it's in transition right now. All My Relations Gallery. What's happening? Do you know what's coming up?
You know, there is. I was just meeting this afternoon with Angela Two Stars, the brilliant artist and the director of All My Relations Arts. She works for NACD. All My Relations Arts is a project of NACD's. And she deliberately left the gallery dark in January. And this first, she normally has had programs four shows in a year. And she left January dark to give her time to move on planning, to build more partnerships. And I think that was a really smart idea. And so she was sketching out the year, or actually the next 2 years. And she is, you know, so brilliant. She first came to All My Relations Arts as a guest curator for the show that she named Bring Her Home, Stolen Daughters of Turtle Island. And now that has become an annual exhibit. And she's talking now about, it's almost always predominantly Native women artists, occasional male artist as well, but now she's thinking of presenting this issue from a man's perspective and really shifting that, which I think will be very intriguing. She's talking about doing All My Relations Arts first ever youth Native artist show to get, and she talks about how seeing her art presented in a gallery really helped pave her pathway to becoming a professional artist. So she wants to give other young Native artists that opportunity. We're going to have a traveling show. We're going to have an exchange sort of show with the gallery in Thunder Bay this year. So yeah, lots of good stuff. And then of course, all that ancillary stuff, the community arts programming and introducing arts into our Four Sisters Farmers Market, our Four Sisters Farm, and just really integrating all of our programs.
That's exciting. And I know we plan on being on the next opening live. So that's going to be fun.
I love it. Yeah, your name came up several times in conversation today. We're gonna have lots for you to do at NACD in the upcoming season.
We'll have to get Ogama and her daughter to come down.
Oh, that would be great. Anytime, Ogama. Let me know and we can maybe help with arrangements or something.
Yeah.
That sounds awesome. I'll have to put a little bug in her ear about it.
I love it.
Hey, we only got like 30 seconds left, Robert. Thank you so much. And, you know, thanks for being flexible because I thought today was Wednesday. And I corrected Ogama today. She says it's Thursday. I said, it's not Thursday. It's Wednesday. And I've been to a bunch of meetings and today and it was Wednesday in my mind, but it was Thursday. But, wow, thanks again for being flexible. Hey, see everybody tomorrow. We're still here. We are the 7th Generation Free Leonard Peltier now.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
The Devil's Advocates. Jake from Milwaukee, you get the last word this hour.
Okay, well, Trump is totally innocent. But it's obvious that George Soros, Nancy Pelosi, BLM, with Antifa, and then Hillary's emails, what, Hunter Biden's laptop, gas, high, Afghanistan, cut and run. I rest my case, Truth.
What about Benghazi, Jake? You forgot Benghazi.
I forgot Benghazi. I'm sorry. And Benghazi, I rest my case.
Follow the Devil's Advocates on Facebook and Twitter.
What is dedication?
I think a parent's job is to protect our children, but also prepare them for the world so they become good, kind human beings.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming.